The main theme, the big idea of this message is joy under pressure. Joy under pressure. So what we've done is we've taken the two words under pressure and we created an acronym UP, just to give us a handle that we can all grab hold of and say it and keep it in our heart and our mind throughout the week. You want to say it with me? Joy up.
Joy up.
Say it again. Joy up.
Joy up.
And what we mean by that is that we can have joy under pressure. The Apostle Paul literally writes this book, these four chapters. He doesn't write it from the island of Hawaii. He doesn't write it from the Four Seasons Hotel in Rome. He writes it from a prison cell in Rome. Okay, that we're going to repeat that because it really is amazing what you get. It's like joy. He's talking about joy under pressure, but he's not just preaching at us or telling us to do it. He's demonstrating by his own writings, like that you really can, no matter what the circumstances are around you, that you can have a joy inside of you in every situation, in every circumstance, and while you're dealing with the pressure of life. He leads us toward a perspective that just provides authentic joy under pressure, okay? So if you're ready, that's all kind of a lead in today, but if you're ready, say, my heart's open, my mind's ready. Make me better, God, by your word. I receive it. I believe it. I won't be the same again. In Jesus' name. All right, Philippians 1, we're going to begin with verse 3. Verse 3, here's how it reads. I thank my God every time I remember you. I want you to notice the word thank. And then the next line, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with what? With
joy.
I always pray, not with sadness. He's in prison. He doesn't say, I got my country western music on. I'm sad. Don't know why I'm here. He doesn't look for pity from anybody. He literally sits down and he starts to write this letter in some pretty tough circumstances. And he starts out here and he uses the word thank. It's like, I thank God for you. And I pray with joy because of your partnership. Now that's an interesting word maybe for you, but that's how God sees us. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to other believers at Philippi who are not in prison, and he's saying, I'm just thankful for you. Like, so at Champion Center, the equivalent would be, I'm really thankful for people who arrive early and they put out signs in the parking lot that help us kind of know, you know, where to park and what door to enter in, and people who greet us at the door with big smiles. Is anybody else thankful? Like when you come to church, there's people that are partnering, right? There are people over with our children right now, and they're investing time in it. We're doing what? We're partnering. Like we're not just, you know, church, we say it all the time, church is not just a place to attend, it's a community. And the Apostle Paul is saying, I'm thanking God and I'm praying with joy because I get to be a part of you and you get to be a part of me and we're in something together that matters and I couldn't do it by myself and you can't do it by yourself and we're in this great partnership. Let me tell you that joy scripturally is I want to tell you how it's defined so that we're on the same page here. It's an intentional focus. It's a decision. Joy is a decision in the scripture. It's not a feeling. So just so we get connected here together, it's not a mood. It leads us toward better feelings, But it begins as a decision. It begins as a choice. And it actually takes courage, oftentimes, to have joy. It takes courage to sing because you are to sing even an encouraging or a worship because you don't feel like singing, or you feel like singing something sad if you feel like singing. It takes joy to brighten up and greet someone and to say hello. How are you doing? It's a choice. So joy is a decision in the face of our feelings of maybe despair and discouragement and defeat. It's an attitude of the heart. Are you with me? So remember, he's in prison, and what he's doing is he's redirecting his thoughts towards something that brings him joy. That's what the Apostle Paul's doing. He's in a cell. I mean, maybe just like a little small, like, you know, trashy place, third world jail kind of thing. But he's redirecting his thoughts toward his friendship, his partnership with God's people. And he's saying, I'm really thankful for that. And this is what we got to do oftentimes. Many of you today, you are in prisons. You're not in a prison physically, but you're metaphorically, you're in, if you stop and think about it, you're in a prison, like the walls have closed in on you. And emotionally, you could be in a prison today. You could be in a place where you are sinking into loneliness or discouragement. And, you know, and God would say to you today to just look at the model here. Like, look at how he redirects his attention to something he's thankful for. If you're taking notes, number one is that there's always a reason for joy. There's always, 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 always a reason for joy. If you're a believer in Christ, if you believe that God has a plan for your life, if deep in your soul there's a sense that God is almighty, that God is all-powerful, if you're willing to lean into scriptures and put that hope out of a verse of scripture of God's promises, there's always a reason. I said there's always a reason. You can be in a prison where you are, if you're not careful, you're getting robbed of your freedom to enjoy life. You can be in a prison of problems. You can be in a prison of grief, despair, futility, discouragement because of things that have happened in your life. And that bondage is very real. Like, if you're not in it right now, you know what I'm talking about because you've been in a prison like that where it feels like you're trapped. Like, what am I going to do? And how do I get out of this? I got funky stuff all over me and freaky feelings and like, why isn't good things happening for me? Like, am I going to stay stuck here? And it's like things happen for other people and how come it's not happening for me? And if you're not careful, like, you get trapped in a place where then you just stay there and you moan a little bit and you groan a little and you take on the habits of that mindset and you grumble if you're not careful. Oh, come on, I'm talking to somebody. I'm trying to help somebody right now. Because here's what I want to say. You're no different than the Apostle Paul. The way to freedom, the path to joy, is to lift your perspective out of the current condition, out of the problem, out of the loss, out of the setback, out of the pain, out of the pressure, and to look for the reasons to be thankful. To look, like, sometimes it's like there's a big mountain of dirt in your life, but to believe there's gold, there's some gold in the dirt, like, and to dig for it, to look for it, to ponder it, to wrestle with it, to say, I know, what am I thankful for? I'm going to write it down, like, I'm going to think about that. I'm going to say I'm thankful for my children. I'm, I'm thankful that I'm not in the hospital today. I'm thankful for what God's done. There's always a reason. There's always a reason. And it doesn't mean that the pressure goes away, and it doesn't mean that you won't have problems, but it changes the way you process the pressure. Yes, yes. And it changes the perspective you have about the pressure. Somebody say joy up.
Joy up.
Come on, say it again. Say joy up.
Joy up.
So let me go to the next verse there, verse 6. Here's what he says. I love this verse. He says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Somebody say with me, God's not finished.
God's not finished.
Come on, say, God's not finished with me yet.
God's not finished with me yet.
Here's what I want you to understand. God never stops working towards something good in your life. I ask our media team to put up this next line. I want you to look at it as I say it. God sees a minus in our life as something he can use to create a plus. It's kind of cool, the plus sign is a cross as well, but... You know, we look at our bad days as a minus, right? A bad experience as a minus. A breakup with a person we love as a minus. We look at a habit we picked up that keeps beating our brains out as a minus. But God sees the minus and he says, I can use that. I can use that. I can turn that into a plus. Is there anybody thankful today that God has taken some minuses? Come on, is there anybody who would say, I've had the minus and then I've had God come along and boop, it turned into something good? Wow, 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 wow. We see our problems as a sign of defeat, and like we want to stop, like, oh, there, the negative thing. And it's like barrier, wall, defeat. But God sees all of that as an opportunity for even a greater outcome. As a pastor, I know, you know, and a leader, I often see the lack in my own life. And that might surprise you, it's just true. It's human tendency sometimes. And I think our enemy tries to get us to focus on what we're not and our insufficiency, and I deal with that. And there's a prayer that's helped me, and I want to share it with you today. When I'm too focused on my weaknesses and my limitations, this is one of the things, you know, my failures, my sins, I go to this. It's a prayer, and then I'm going to talk about the guy who is actually famous for this prayer. But here's how it goes. Look at this prayer. It says, God, let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. Let me make a difference for you that is utterly disproportionate. Because sometimes what we do is like we think we got to be all that and more for God to do something good in us and through us. And this person, his name is David Brainerd. He lived in the mid-1700s. He was orphaned at age 14. He came to know Christ at about age 20. He enrolled in Yale University. He wanted to study theology, felt a call of God on his life. At 21 years old, he enrolled at Yale. In his junior year at Yale, he got expelled for debating heavily with a college professor on the topic of grace. David really He was one of the forerunners. He was among the guys who, in history, in church history, the church was real legalistic around that time, and there were voices speaking up about the grace of God that's in Scripture, that's clear in Scripture. And he was one of those grace believers. He really believed in grace, but as a young guy who really believed in it, you know, his passion got a hold of him, arguing with his professors and all that, and he got expelled from Yale. He becomes a missionary to the Native Indians, the Native Americans. He then died at age 29. So you can research, Google David Brainerd if you want. This is one of his prayers, though, that is really a great, I recommend it, like, for all of you who deal with feelings of inadequacy or insufficiency. Here's the cool thing about that story, I don't want to forget to tell you this, that later on, Yale University named a building after him. It's called Brainerd Hall. And he's the only person ever who has a building named after them at Yale University who actually got expelled from Yale University. Isn't that pretty crazy? The point, again, is he's very aware of what he's not, but he's bold enough, and he's confident enough, and he maintains joy when he could get discouraged about his inadequacy and insufficiency. He's joying up, and he's dreaming about the idea, and he's having faith about the idea, and he's bold enough to pray, God, use me to make a difference that is utterly disproportionate to who I am. Like, God, just, it's like dreaming beyond my adequacy into your adequacy, that God, you can do what I cannot do in my lifetime and through me. So be careful, guy. God doesn't see the inadequacy. He doesn't see the minus as just a minus. He looks at it and he says, that minus that you're all worried about, you're feeling condemned about, you're feeling inadequate in it, I can use that. I can use that as a testimony. I can use that as a story. I can use that to bless and benefit other people. Somebody shout, joy up.
Joy up.
Come on, say, joy up.
Joy up.
Let's go to the next verse 12, Philippians 1, verse 12. It reads like this. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, being in prison, in other words, has actually served to advance the gospel. This is really cool. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Like, I'm not just here because I really did something that deserved to be here. I'm not a criminal. I'm not in the technical term. I'm not really a bad guy, but they got some laws, and evidently they don't like me talking about Christ, and so that's why I'm here. And then because of my chains, he says, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord, and they dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Somebody shout, wow. Say it again. Say, wow. One more time. Say, wow. Why is that worth a while? Because when you really think of it, what's happening in this guy is that, and here's, I'm not just making this up, here's what history says about the times that the Apostle Paul was imprisoned, is that they put him in prison to get his voice shut up so that he wouldn't be spreading the good news about Christ. So they put him in prison, right, to stop all of that. But what would happen when you go to prison is that other prisoners would come to know Christ. And so, like, singing would break out in prison. And not just the prisoners, guards. This is what history says about his time in jail, is that literally they would put, like, two guards on him, like, you know, you're guarding this guy and da-da-da-da. And next thing you know, they would be converted. And the guards were now being Christ followers. And so what they do, they ship them out, they'd move two more in, and then they would get converted. And it's like he was this unstoppable force. Like he, and you know why? I really believe it's not, he even says in one place in scripture, he says, I'm not really a great orator or communicator. And he definitely wasn't, he was short. He wasn't like this impressive, you know, real larger than life personality. You know what I think it was? I think this is the key. Like he had this unbelievable, consistent joy attitude in his circumstances. And he would engage conversations with people and talk to them about their life. And they would begin to sense the power of his faith in Christ. And they would begin to sense what God is doing and was doing in his life. And positive things would just, no matter where you put them, like no matter what you do with them, like it doesn't stop. What God had put on his life and in his life to actually do. So here's what I want to say to you today. This is my last like point, is that I want you to think about this. Let's not be brought down or feel defeated by the pressure that we get from an unbelieving culture. So don't let people bring you down. Don't let people who don't share your faith get to you. Like, don't let, I know there are, somebody shout joy up.
Joy.
There are young men and women, young adults in our church family whose families don't serve Christ. Who don't, not only do they not go to church, they actually complain to that young lady or that young man and they try to discourage them in their faith. And I want to talk to some of you today. You know why some of your peers, they give you a hard time? That you're going to church? You're going again? Like, I thought you went last week to church. Like, you know, and you're always talking about church and like, and you're going to that Bible study, like you, and those comments or that pressure. Can I encourage you for a minute? Like, they don't know what they don't know. You got to stay confident. The world and the way of the world and the things that the world is choosing to do doesn't get them where they want to go. And you got to stay confident in what you know about God's ways, about God's plan. You got to lean into, they're making choices and they're making decisions, and all you got to do is look around and you're seeing how chaotic and crazy and self-destructive and sabotaging a lot of those choices are, and how relationships are dysfunctional and homes are being split and crazy stuff is happening everywhere. And people's lives, young people's lives are being wasted, and addictions are taking them out of a life worth living. And what I'm saying, don't let their criticism of you discourage you. Don't let the pressure of what others might think about the path that you're on take you off the path. Haters gonna hate. I'm just saying, haters gonna hate. Come on, haters gonna hate. Everybody's not gonna celebrate your progress. Like some of you, you're coming to Champion Center and you're becoming a part of Celebrate Recovery, and man, addictions are being broken off your life and you're becoming a new person through Christ. Critics are gonna criticize. Haters gonna hate. Don't let the pressure cause you to bow and break and bend and succumb to their way. And they're like, what do you mean you can't do this or do that? And come on, man, you're no fun anymore. And you just got to know in your heart that what they call fun oftentimes is a destructive lifestyle. And God's got something better in mind. God's got something, come on, He's got something planned for you. Wow, 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 wow. Somebody shout joy up. Come on, say joy up. Come on, say joy up. Don't feel sorry, ever feel sorry for yourself as a child of God. That, you know, I don't have friends, like, they're not my friends anymore. They don't, man, just rejoice. And if some friends exit your life, just rejoice and know that God's bringing better friends. He's bringing better people. Come on, God's going to surround you with the right people. Come on, somebody needs to celebrate. Somebody needs to joy up today. So I don't know what pressure you're under. I just want you to know you can have joy under pressure. You can have joy under pressure. I want you to leave services today knowing I got joy under pressure. I want you to make a decision. I'm going to have joy under pressure. Whether I'm emotionally into something, I'm feeling discouraged about something, whether something's gone wrong at work, stuff going on in my family, my marriage, peer pressure. I want you to leave church today. I just want you to leave here with a sense of knowing that doesn't have to steal my joy. That doesn't have to rob me of a real, genuine, authentic joy. I'm going to joy up. I'm going to make a decision to joy up.